glad Shayla is sharing her with us today. Her name is Ryman Monroe. Pretty name, isn't it? Sometimes I have to think about before I can think what it is, but I'll get used to it. Aren't you glad you're in the house of the Lord this morning? I'm glad you're in the house of the Lord. I'm glad that you are here rather than in the hospital or whatever. Let me ask you this before I get started. Anybody here ever have that sleep test? You just barely survived, didn't you? I had that Friday night. I had to stay over to the building next to the hospital. They had a thing around my neck. I thought he was going to choke me to death. Had a thing up my nose, on my fingers, on my legs, on my hands, on my arms, on my back, on my chest. Had a wire coming down front of my lip, curved back down, had a naked end on it, and I thought, Lord, they're going to try to execute me. I'll just have to say I had a very miserable night. Thank God I made it. You know, I may be, no, I'm not exaggerating. I started to say I might be exaggerating a little bit, but I'll say no. It was every bit of that and more too. But thank God I did survive it, got out of there as quick as I could. It's kind of hard to sleep in a strange place, hooked all up, and you got a big red light on the wall looking you right in the face every time you open your eyes. But I survived. Thank the Lord. I want to talk to you about a great year. I could preach on survival, couldn't I? A great year. Now, I want to tell you, this is going to be a great year, but I want to tell you, the devil is fighting with his every being. And he's trying his best to put a stop to everything that God has for us. But he is not going to win. We're winners. I read the end of the book. And all in between. And we're winners. God's children are winners. If you want to stand and read you a verse of scripture, and then we'll pray and you can be seated again. In Proverbs chapter number 17... and verse number 24, wisdom is before him that understanding hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for those that chose to be in your house, that you blessed us, give us strength and courage to do so. Thank you, God, that you've allowed us to be in health where we can be here this morning. I pray for every individual, God, that you help us to understand that the devil is a liar and the father of it, and he's trying to trick people and falling for his lies. And Lord, your people are wise. They're not fools, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Let me give you something that's a little bit humorous, but it's actually the truth. After a woman sues McDonald's because she wasn't warned her coffee was hot. Companies are changing their institution manuals and product warnings labeled to cover themselves from liability. Now listen, just a few of them, they sound kind of dumb, but these companies has got to cover themselves one way or another to keep from getting sued, like this woman received all that money because she spilled hot coffee on her because it wasn't a warning sign that the coffee was hot. Who in the world would want to drink cold coffee? I know they have such, but I don't want no cold coffee. But listen, just a few. On a particular brand of soap, direction says, use like regular soap. And on a frozen dinner, suggestion, defrost before eating. A Christmas pudding, produce will be hot, or excuse me, product will be hot after heating. I can imagine. A string of Christmas lights says, for indoors and outdoor use only. A package of peanuts warns, may contain traces of peanuts. On a chainsaw, it says, do not stop the chain with your hand. On a motorcycle helmet mounted mounted mirror, it says, remember, opposites in the mirror are actually behind you. It's amazing how that they have to cover themselves even though it makes them look stupid. Well, we need to cover ourselves even though the world thinks we're stupid. We're not stupid, we're not dumb, we're children of God, and children of God don't have any dummies. They're all wise in the eyes of the Lord because they have surrendered their life to Him and give their heart to the Lord. And the good part about it is we're serving the God that cares about us. We all can do one of two things this year. And I know it's past the first of the year and it's passing so fast. Today's the 12th already. The month is almost half gone. Where has it gone? It'll be tax time before you're thinking about it. Uncle Sam will have his hand sticking out there for our money, right? But thank God that He'll accept it with a smile, maybe. We can waste away this year, but the thing about it, we can do one of two things this year. First of all, we can waste it away by fretting about things we failed to accomplish this last year. We can be moping and having self-pity parties, or we can decide to make the most of this year, 2020, that we're in right now. This could be the greatest year of our life, and I am believing that it will be the greatest year of my life, and I hope and pray it is for your life. You're saying, why would it be the greatest year of your life? You're getting older and all that. Yeah, but I'm still around. Thank God I'm still alive. Can you say amen to that? So what are you going to do with this 2020? How will this year be any different to last year? How many of you would like for 2020 to be better than 2019 was for all the things that you went through? We all would, right? So we're looking for a better time. The bad news is that there's nothing we can do to change last year. It's gone, folks. Let it go. Mark it up as a surviving time that you survived, and God blessed us all, did He not? He didn't say He'd give us everything we wanted, but He said He'd supply our every need. So, hey, I don't see any of us starving to you. So God has taken good care of us, and we just need to understand that. See, the bad news is, like I said, that there's nothing we can do to change last year, but the good news is that we can change the coming year. At the beginning of every year, God gives each of us a clean slate to start over with. Hear what I am saying. God gives us a brand new slate for the year of 2020 to start over again. We cannot do anything about the year that's passed, but He's given us a new slate. What are we going to write on this slate? What are we going to do with the slate He's given us? Are we going to go back and try to dig up all this old thing that we were so depressed about or pressured on and all of this of last year? Are we going to dig all this up and bring it over and put it on our new slate? I don't want my new slate to be a mess, do you? So let's start it out clean. Let's start it out by, first of all, going to God and thanking God that we survived last year, thanking God that He blessed us last year and helped us through situations, even though there was some hard things that, most of us went through one time or another. But God seen us through every single one of them. But now, since we're over in 2020 and God has given us a brand new slate, let's put all of this behind. Let's push it all back and leave it behind. Let's not drag it. Let's not drag it into this new year. I want to tell you something, folks. We need to understand we don't need to look at one another and see a big bag of garbage dragging behind us. We need to cut the ties, leave that garbage behind. Nothing you can do about it. Hey, just leave it there and start a brand new in this year and press on. God has wonderful things ahead and in store for his people in this year. You say, well, there's all kinds of things taking place. I can go into a lot of things that's taking place. But I want to tell you one thing that's taking place. Jesus Christ is getting closer to coming than he's ever been before. And he's not coming back after everybody because everybody won't surrender to him. He's coming back after his bride, his church, the one that's looking for him, watching for him, praying and believing. He's coming back for us. So at the beginning of every year, as I said, he gives us a clean slate. So it's like God is saying, let's start over. And that's good news. Let's start over. Let's forget those things which are behind. Let's just forget about them. Push them behind and all of this. In the beginning of that verse that we read, the intelligent person aims at wisdom, actions, but that means that they have goals. They have objectives. They have aims. They have targets. Have you ever set goals for this new year? Have you ever asked God to help you with the goals maybe that you have set? But hey, we all need to start thinking about what we're going to do in the rest of this year. It's going by so fast, we better hang on and do everything that we possibly can for the Lord. Are you planning on doing more for the Lord, or are you planning on doing less? Are you planning on just giving up and sitting down, twiddling your thumbs, and say, well, I'm going to sit here until Jesus comes? Because he'll be here one of these days. I want to tell you something, folks. He will be here, and he'll be here sooner than a lot of people think. So there's some things that can happen. So this morning I want to share with you four keys that will help us to success in 2020. Keys can be used to start something or used to open doors. So have a good new year in 2020, and it's simple as A, B, C, and then D. It's that simple, and this is what I want you to understand this morning. So the title of this message actually is The ABC is to Have a Great Year. I just titled it A Great Year because I believe it's going to be. And the first I want to start out with A, accept responsibility for my life and for your life. Don't excuse, make excuses, confess, and go on. There's not a person here that didn't fail God in 2019. I'm saying this because I believe it with all of my heart. You may say, I didn't, man. I stayed perfect all year. Well, let me shake your hands, and then I want to pray for you for lying. I don't mean that rudely, but I want to tell you something, folks. It's very easy to make mistakes. Politically, correctness says none of your problems are your fault. Everything bad in your life is somebody else's fault. Blame the environment, the educators, or the teachers. Blame your parents. It's not your fault. It's your parents' fault. They shouldn't have spanked me when I was a baby. They shouldn't have made me eat liver when I was small. They shouldn't have made me do all these things, so it's all their fault. And then you get into an accident where it's never your fault. If you spill hot coffee on you, as that person did in McDonald's, it's not your fault. It's their fault. They shouldn't have given you hot coffee to start with. Lord have mercy. Success in life. It is to accept responsibility for our own lives. Proverbs 28 and 13 says, he that overcometh his sin shall... he that overcometh his sin shall not prosper, covereth his sins. Lord, help me, Jesus. He that covereth his sins, he's not going to prosper. But whoso confess and forsake them shall have mercy. But you see, if we confess and forsake them, we get another chance. You know, if you try to make it to heaven with sin in your life, you're not going to make it, plain and simple. You say, well, I don't think a few sins follow me around. I sin a little bit here and a little bit there, and nobody don't know about it, and I don't tell the preacher, and nobody else. I hope nobody else don't tell the preacher I've been sinning this week. Well, I want to tell you, you're not to hold yourself accountable to the preacher. You're to hold yourself accountable to somebody that's greater than his name is Jesus. Can you say amen? So we need to understand this, folks. Hey, we don't need to try to hide it from somebody, because God already knows it. And you never fail until you give up. People want to lay down and quit, the first mistake they make. So at the first time you don't succeed, what do? Welcome to the human race, you're normal. We sometimes don't succeed the first time. I remember when I was trying for my driver's permit, I thought, I know all this stuff. I got it. I know it. Guess what? I went and tried for my permit, and I didn't have it. I didn't know it. I didn't study the book enough. So I went back home being disappointed, and I thought, you idiot, you know all this stuff, surely. But I went back to the book, and there were some things that I surely didn't know. So I studied, went back, and it was great. Passed it with flying colors. And so then I made up my mind, when I go take my driver's test, I'm going to have it all figured out. Everything is going to be good. So I studied, I watched, I practiced. And then we come down to taking my test. I took the test in a car I'd never drove before. My brother had a nice car. It was a 59 Ford at the time, and it was all shiny, slick, and all this. But he wouldn't trust me to practice in his car, but he would allow me to take my test in it. So I'd never drove a car with power brakes before. That's been some years back, I know, but hey. So here we get in. The state police gets beside, and I'm looking over, and here he is. Boy, he's got that big hat on, that gun. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. I don't know about this. I was almost shaking in my shoes. So he tells me what to do, and I listen very carefully. Everything that he told me to do, I did it to the very best of my ability. He said, stop right here. Power brakes. Knocked his hat off. I said, hey, I'm sorry, officer, but I said, I'm not used to these power brakes. He says, I see that. He felt that too when his hat was knocked off. But anyway, I went on and got my license. He knew I wasn't going to bump his head on just for the fun of it. I thought, sure, hey, I won't get him now. He said, you just need a little more practice on those power brakes. But said, hey, go in there and get your driver's license. I said, thank you, sir. You call an officer sir when he's good to you and when he's not. Because you can get in trouble, right? Thank God, though, that everything went all right. You know, some people, though, are very good at making excuses and blaming somebody else all the time. So let's say I choose to accept responsibility for my own life, goals, and happiness, and I'm not dependent on anybody else because do this and you'll jump ahead in 2020. If you don't try to blame somebody else for everything that takes place, quit blaming people. My oldest brother, God love his heart, he's dead and gone on. He's up in heaven probably looking down and saying, preach on, brother. Everything that was done, he wanted to blame it on somebody else. Stick of wood flew up, Joey, and hit him when he was splitting wood. It was my brother and I's fault. If you all hadn't been watching me, it wouldn't have happened. God love him, I loved him so much. Miss him. And then B is believe I can change. The devil wants you to doubt that you can change. You can't do anything, you can't do any better. You're going to be the same way you were this last year. No, now hang on a minute. Philippians 4 and 13 says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can do all things. Now notice what he's saying. In this verse, it's talking about, hey, we can shatter some of these things that the devil's telling us we can't do it. I can. Notice what it said. I can. We've got to put some effort. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But if you don't depend on him and trust him, how in the world are you going to do it? So we all have our secret fears. I didn't think I feared a whole lot, but I'll tell you what. I climbed one of these 100-foot CB tires is what they was on it. 100-foot in the air. Not a guide wire on it. And all of a sudden the wind started blowing. My uncle said, I've got to get up there and help you. We got to take this thing down a joint at a time. He got up there and he was heavier than I was. And we got up there and I'm telling you what, the wind started blowing. Can you imagine 100-foot in the air on one of these little old towers, the three-point towers? Here we are swaying around. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm about to get seasick. Stupid and dumb. I thought, Lord God, if you help me out of this, I'll never, ever try that again. And as far as I know, I've not either. And don't plan on it. So we come down and we take the first section loose, the one that's heavier because it's got that thing at the top, runs a pipe through. We take it loose and we tie a rope to it so it won't fall. We take the bolts out and guess what? It's stuck down on there where it's been on there for a while. So we got to start beating it to drive it up. We drive it up and all of a sudden it comes off and all of a sudden it falls. Whap! Comes down and hits a tire here. We're shaking around, I'm telling you, everywhere. And I sure thought I was a goner. Thank God he has mercy on people that don't know too much. So don't ever try that. That's a dangerous thing. So God helped us, and he got us off from there. Hey, I'll tell you one thing. I sure prayed up when I got off of there. I don't want to ever try that again. So there is some fears that we have sometimes. Some people have fear of people, what people think. Have you ever had that fear of thinking about what people think? You want people to think good about you all the time, right? We all do. We want people to think good about us. But if they don't, we're going to make it anyway, right? And then we have fear of our failures sometimes. We know that we're going to make some failures here and there, but hey, I'm telling you something, folks. We don't need to carry that fear around. And then of making a fool of ourselves like somebody on a tower, right? And these fears can affect our lives. But some of these foolish things that we do can put some education in us fast. So God's truth is you can do all things, no matter how big or how serious your trial. Whatever the problem is, the difficulties come your way and all of this. But our God is able to make you an overcomer in all of them. God is able, folks, and he'll help us and if we just trust him and believe in him. What a great God we serve. He is super, right? He is wonderful. He is mighty. And he is great. You see, we sometimes get ourselves in trouble because we don't listen to God. Now notice in some supporting scriptures for this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away and behold, all things are made new. This is what we are. We're made new. And you know what? When we got saved, we became a new creature. We're not the old person we used to be, even though people look at us. Why, I remember him. I remember them when they was a little boy. That was the meanest brats I ever seen in my life. Well, I'll guarantee you, if they had a movie of you, you probably wasn't no angel either, right? We've all done things that we ought not to do. Mom tells a story about myself. I got thirsty, wanted a drink of water. Wasn't no running water in the house at that time. We had a water bucket. We had to carry water from a spring. But the water bucket was empty and had one of those dippers. Anybody ever remember those dippers? Everybody drunk out of the same dipper. No wonder that some of them got stunted. So I got that dipper, and I was heading down to the spring. Mom said to get me some water, and I couldn't carry it with that, and I was dragging it in the dirt, dragging this down through there. She said, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get me a drink of water. She said, no, you're not going down there, because the water ran right out of the bank on the big steep bank in Kentucky River is at the foot of it. So we were raised there. If we got over to that bank too close, we'd wind up in the river. So Mom always beat it in her head, and if she couldn't get it in her head, she spanked somewhere else, right? She said, hey, you don't go near the river. So we can do a lot of dumb things when we're children, but the good part about it is we start out as a child with Christ. We still, and when we give our heart to the Lord, there are still some things that we're going to mess up on, but we're going to make it with God's help. So what are we going to do, folks? We're going to keep pressing on. Be encouraged. Weak Christians, even weak Christians, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then the big C, A, B, and now we're on C. Clarify your priorities. Set godly priorities. Don't set something that you think, well, I'm going to be a millionaire this year. I'm going to win the lottery. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something else. Set your priorities with God. Hey, God, with your help. Always put with God's help, because without God's help, we can't do a whole lot. This is why that we need God, and we need God's help like we've never needed it before, even in this year we're in right now. God, with your help, I'm going to do better. I'm going to work more for you. I'm going to see more wonderful things take place. And God, I'm going to accept your promises that you have promised me in this book. I'm going to accept them. You know what? He's made some promises, but a lot of people won't accept them. Well, I don't know if that's for me or not. If it's in there, it is for you, right? You need to accept exactly what God has, because he has a lot of wonderful things for his people. I want to tell you, folks, Christian people should be one of the most happy, well, should be and are. I'm talking about prayed up Christians. They're the happiest people in the world. You can see people, they may not have a dime in their pocket, but they're whistling a little tune. Don't ask me what tune that was. I don't know. Maybe I'll leave the whistling to somebody else. But the good part about it is, folks, we can look and accept God's promises, and he has promised us. First of all, he's going to supply our every need. He's going to take care of us. And if we do what he tells us, he's going to bless us abundantly. And this is the thing about it. We all like a blessing, but do we really want a blessing abundantly from the Lord? Start sacrificing for God. Start trusting God. Start believing in God. Start doing what the Bible says, and you're going to receive the promises of God like never before. I believe there's some people here, you're going to prosper this year like you've never had before, and you look back and say, well, where did that come from? Well, I want to tell you, hey, Sister Gordon, I see miracles just every little bit where God helps us and blesses us in some very, very special ways. And I'm not going to get into details on it, because I'm just going to say God blesses us every single day of our life. But we need to clarify our priorities. Set priorities, godly priorities. Don't set your priorities something wild or crazy or all this. Most people who never make up their mind what they want out of life, if we aim at nothing, we're certainly going to hit what? Nothing. If we aim at nothing, we're going to hit nothing. But Brother Lloyd, we got to aim at something, don't we? We got to aim at something that we know that God's going to take care of us. So there's three things most people on their deathbed wish they had given greater priority to. Number one, their relationship with God. Number two, their relationship with their family. And three is a relationship with their church. These three things, a lot of people, when they come on their deathbed, they regret that they didn't have a better relationship with God. They didn't trust him enough. And then their relationship with their family. Folks, we need our families. Don't we do it? We need our families. Well, how good God is, and he blesses us with families, and we need one another. You don't need to just run off somewhere and say, hey, I don't belong to that family. I don't like that family. Well, you're still of the family, whether you like it or not. But you never hear anybody say, I wish I had spent more time at the office or at work or building my own career when they're on their deathbed. You don't hear them say that. I just wished I'd have done more for the Lord. That's the first thing that they really say. So there's a plan. We need to understand about this plan. It's really so important to make resolutions. Some people do and some people don't when they start out a year. But we need to plan ahead for one thing. Start with small steps to achieve your greater goal. Avoid repeating the same failures. Let me just throw in one from I think would help everybody if you just listen to it just a minute. Get out of debt. Get out of debt with your credit cards. Those things will destroy you if you're not careful. A lot of people don't have one. I've got a couple, but I'll tell you what. When I put something on, I pay it off as quick as I can. Why? Because I want to tell you, folks, they really like that 25 or 30% interest. They say, oh, you don't know, you don't have to pay it. Just pay a little bit this month, and next month pay a little bit more and all this. And then you get to figuring it up, pay about 30% interest or more on this. I think that's kind of bad, don't you? So that's just one thing. Hey, you do it if you want to. If you won't, just keep using your credit card and getting yourself in debt, and one of these days you're going to have to pay up. So make plans ahead. Don't be sidetracked by your failures. Since we have these things that we do and we get ourselves in trouble sometimes by getting sidetracked, but things are more important than serving God or coming to the house of God. And sometimes your job keeps you from the house of God, and God understands. But what about the time that you make excuses that, hey, I don't need to go to the house of God. I'm just as good as anybody else. So be careful, folks. Have a support system. Have people that will help support you in all of this. Remember yourself why that you have these setbacks and goals and try to do better. And then I want to go to D real quick. D, don't wait to begin. Don't procrastinate. This gets people in more trouble, is putting things off to later. If you have something to do, go ahead and do it. Some people have gardens and they put off chopping the weeds out. I would get it to next week or so, and then it sets in raining, and all of a sudden you got weeds taller than your stuff in the garden. Don't put it off. Do it while you can. In Acts 24 and 5, the governor Felix was confronted by the apostle Paul and brought under serious conviction. But notice this. Felix trembled and said, he was trembling. He was, and then he said, go your way for now, and when I have convenient time, I will call for you. When I have a more convenient time, Paul, I'll call for you. Just go on. Just get on out of here. Well, guess what? I never read in the Bible nowhere where he ever called for Paul. I believe that he had his chance. He had his calling, but he got himself in trouble. Why? Plain and simple, because he did not listen to Paul. We must listen to the Word of God and the things that God does. We need to step out, and to step out by requires faith, and we have success guaranteed by our being obedient. And I want you to notice Zechariah 4 and 6 says, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Trust in God, folks, gets us where we need to be. Now, let me give you just a little illustration that I think we all might have got into this sooner or later and various things and may imitate this and all that. So if you all just make your way to the music while I'm reading this little illustration. Some years ago, 2 8-year-old boys decided to pour kerosene in a big old pot-bellied stove. in their schoolroom because it was cold and they wanted to warm things up. But instead of kerosene, they poured in gasoline and the stove exploded. It killed one of the boys and left the other with a bad burn, with bad burned legs. The doctor told his parents that they must amputate his legs right away, or his whole body could become infected. And the parents said, "Let's wait a day." The next day, the doctor said his legs must be amputated. The parents said, "Let us wait another day." And when this week was, when this went into several weeks, until finally the doctor discovered that the boy was healing, but that his left leg would be 2.5 inches shorter than his right leg. And the doctor said, "He'll keep his leg, but he'll never be able to walk." Within a few weeks, the little boy was standing up. He's hobbling around on crutches. The doctor changed his prediction and he said, "Well, maybe. Maybe he'll be able to walk, but he'll never be able to walk without crutches." But within a few more weeks, he was up walking without crutches. Well, he may be able to walk without crutches, but he'll never be able to run. But then he broke into a hobbled jog, and he was soon running. That boy's name was Glenn Cunningham. It's a true story. Who won the gold medals and set world records in the track. And in his day, he was called the fastest human being on 2 feet. You see, with God, everybody has that kind of potential. And don't let the devil tell you that you can't do it. God says, "You can do all things." Let's do it, right? Let's do the things that God has told us we can do. You know, I've given this testimony before, but very hurriedly. I've got a few more minutes without running over into overtime, which don't make any difference anyway. But I've told you the story how my little brother and I was playing in the barn, which we'd been told not to do, never to do. Stay away from the barn. It's dangerous there, boys. But Dad is way down in the field working, and Mama's in the house, and she's busy. So if we go in the barn, so what? Mom won't see us. Dad won't see us. We go in the barn, and Dad has one of these big old metal runner sleds that they pulled. And it was turned up in the driveway so he could get through with the other stuff. So we think, boy, this is fun. We'll climb up on this. Well, we got up on, the runner was down here standing and jumping up and down. Well, guess what? It flipped over. And I fell in between it. And it fell right across my little brother's neck. So I couldn't move it. All I could do is just couldn't even scream, couldn't even yell. Just run out and run back, run out and run back. And Mom seen that there was something wrong. "Hey, what in the world's wrong? Where's Doug at?" And she come a running. And she ran, and that big old sled was on his neck. And she reaches down. I tell you what, though, she may have been a little woman at that time, but she reached down, got that big metal sled, and drug him from under that sled. She grabs him up in her arms and takes him out, and here he is. His neck's broken. He's turning black and all this. And he starts yelling for Dad down in the field. "Here he comes, whipping the horses, making them run fast to get up there." So they take him up here to the doctor. They take him up here to the doctor. And the doctor said his neck's broke. He won't live through the night. He won't live through the night. Mom said, "Lord, don't take my son. Send him back home. He wasn't going to make it," according to the doctor. Doctors had been proven wrong, but Mom was a praying woman, and she believed when she prayed God was going to hear. So as time went on, God healed him as far as his neck, but it was stiff. It had no bend in it. When an airplane come, he couldn't even He would have to bend his whole body to see the airplane go by, and we loved to watch the airplanes as a kid. So everybody thought, well, he's alive, but he'll never be able to move his head. He'll never be able to do nothing. His neck was just frozen, just like this. So then there was revival going on. A tent revival. People used to call them healing revivals that take place because a lot of people got healed. Mom said, I'm taking my boy to that revival. God's going to heal him. She took Doug there. They prayed for him. Guess what? Immediately, his neck turned around so much you almost think he was Al. Never had another minute's problem with his neck all the days of his life. So when a doctor says you can't, you tell a doctor, Dr. Jesus can. He's going to take care of it. Folks, in this year, we may have to trust God more than we ever have in our entire life. But we need to trust Him. We need to believe He's going to take care of us. The doctor says, you can't. You say, wait a minute, Doc. But Jesus says, I can. I'm going to serve Jesus, and Jesus is my healer, and I'm going to believe Him over top of you, even though I respect you and I honor you and I appreciate you and all this. You do what you can. But God has the last say. He will keep us. He'll keep us. What a good God we have. He's wonderful, is He not? Let's stand, would you please? Praise God. What a wonderful Savior we have. He is a good God. He is a merciful Lord. But I want to ask you something. Do you really want to do more for the Lord this year than you did last year? Do you want to see God doing more for you this year than He did last year? Well, it takes commitment, it takes obedience to Him, and then God is obligated. Hey, there's no limit to what God can do for your family. You say, my family members, they've been this and that and all this other stuff. Hey, I want to tell you, God can take care of all of that. Have family members need to be saved, right? God's going to take care of it if you just obey Him and do what He says. He's wonderful, folks. He's mighty. And He's caring. This would be a great time to start out with A, B, C's, and a D. And have a great year with God. We can do it if we put our heart and soul into serving God. I don't know how much longer I have here on earth. I'm not worrying about it. If I go today, adios, amigo. I guess that's the way you say it. Don't cry over me. I'll be gone. I'll be up in heaven enjoying the blessings of God. But I don't plan on going anytime soon. But if I do, that's still okay. God is good. But let's make preparations and trust God to do more for us as we do more for Him. It's not like that you have to scratch God's back for Him to scratch yours. But He likes for us to be obedient. If your children are obedient, you give them treats, right? You give them rewards. And this is what God does when we're good. He gives us rewards. He gives us blessings. And we just need to accept those blessings because He loves us. God, help us to do more this year than we did last year. The altar's open this morning if you'd like to come and pray as they are playing this song and singing. Will you come? Will you come? Let God help you. Just ask God. Ask God. He wants you to ask.
When I'm tall.